Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Welcome on board On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan's across from me. Actually, Mark is just still recovering from a day off yesterday, and he's forgotten to put his headphones on.
What day is this?
This is Tuesday. All day long, Mark.
All right. Thanks for handling Catbird yesterday. Very much
happy to do it. It came as quite a shock to me, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
I didn't know you weren't coming in.
All right. Well, we've asked for and received an opportunity to talk to one of the greatest authors and commentators and educators around. Leonard Steinhorn is on the line. Good morning, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, Leonard.
Hey, I don't recognize that person you're introducing. Huh?
Yeah, he wasn't available, but Leonard was. Sorry about that. All right. Well, let's start out with President Trump's grip on the Republican Party and the outcome of some of the primaries that have happened so far and the ones that are to come. I always think the Republican Party is busted because of him, but he is on a streak lately with his candidates winning. And so has there been any release of the grip by President Trump? And sort of what is the state of the GOP now?
Well, look, sort of the big one everyone was talking about was Liz Cheney losing in a landslide in Wyoming. Here was somebody with a 93% voting record in accordance with Donald Trump when he was president, who was very conservative, but she took him on with impeachment with January 6th, and Donald Trump says she has to go. She loses in the landslide. Everyone says Donald Trump has a grip on the party, as you're suggesting. And he's had a good streak. A lot of his candidates, you look in Ohio and Pennsylvania and Arizona, have done quite well. The one outlier here is Georgia. A couple months ago, he couldn't prevail. His preferred gubernatorial candidate lost big. His attempt to defeat the sitting Secretary of State lost big. So Georgia seems to be the outlier there, and in part that's because he tried to meddle so much in their election. You have that tape recording where he was asking for those extra, 12,000 votes. They lost those two, special elections in January for Senate. And a lot of people think that the Republicans lost that because of Donald Trump's interference. So, yes, he has a very, very strong grip on the party right now. The whole thing at Mar-a-Lago seems to have increased his hold and gotten more people loyal and defending him. But still, we're a long way from 2024, and we'll have to see how some of his candidates fare in the fall elections coming up.
I think you just hit the nail on the head. He's done well in Republican primaries with Republican voters, but these people have yet to stand the test of facing the general electorate as a whole. How well do you think they might survive there?
Well, again, it's unclear, but with Mitch McConnell sort of speaking a little bit pessimistically about the Republican chances in the Senate, you have to think it's because a lot of those candidates that Donald Trump has endorsed are the ones that are standard bearers for the Republican Party in those states. So if you lose the seat in Pennsylvania because your candidate, Dr. Oz, is so weak and a poor candidate, heavily endorsed by Donald Trump. If you lose the seat in Arizona or aren't able to topple Mark Kelly in Arizona, it's because you put up a very, very radical and extreme candidate who is supported by Donald Trump. And that may be the case in various other states. And if his candidates do lose, it's going to give a lot of Republicans pause as to whether some of the candidates Donald Trump has been endorsing are simply there because, A, they're loyal to him, and B, because they're taking some very, very extreme positions, not just on the 2020 election, but on other issues as well. So that might be the opening for people like Ron DeSantis or Nikki Haley or Tim Scott or some of the other people who want to run in the Republican Party. And again, I think all eyes are going to be on what happens in November. However, if he can pull it off and somehow these candidates do win, because a lot of the Trump voters go out in high numbers and turnout is great, then all of a sudden it becomes Donald Trump's party, absolutely. And if he decides to run in 2024, it's going to be his for the taking.
Do you think the Republicans went for name recognition over substance in picking candidates like Dr. Oz and Herschel Walker?
Herschel Walker, I should have mentioned him, yes. You know, part of it's name recognition, but Dr. Oz, you know, barely squeaked through on that primary against somebody else who did have a lot of resources and was able to go toe-to-toe with Dr. Oz. I think the Trump support had a big deal. You've got all these folks who really want to defend Donald Trump, who want him on their side, who will listen to him. And remember, most people, you know, they're not studying the depths of all of these candidates. They're looking for shortcuts in terms of what they should do. Lots of voters are what I would call low information voters. They sort of have a sense of who they might like. They might follow the news a bit. They might see some of the advertising on TV. But if somebody like Donald Trump says, hey, that person's okay, that sort of gives them permission to say, hey, Donald Trump says they're okay, maybe I'll vote for them. So I do think that does have an impact beyond just the name recognition, because you go look at Arizona and Blake Masters, who didn't have a lot of name recognition, though he had a lot of money because the billionaire Peter Thiel was funding his campaign. I think that did have an impact. Or you look at Ohio, where, yes, J.D. Vance, who had a big name because of his best-selling book, won the primary, but he was sort of languishing in the middle of the pack, despite his name recognition, until Donald Trump gave him the thumbs up. So I think part of it is Donald Trump says, you're okay, a lot of his supporters are going to go out and vote. Again, it's voting in elections in the United States is not always about who, you know, is the best candidate, or who everybody wants, or who wins the entire state. It's about who wins the voters that turn out. And if you can get your voters motivated and you can get high turnout among your voters, that often is the biggest boost for you.
I think you said one time that sometimes people just vote for the least worst candidate, too. So that person comes out the winner. In Pennsylvania, Dr. Oz and Doug Mastriano are starting to make headway in trying to tighten up the race between John Fetterman and Josh Shapiro for the Senate and the governorship here in Pennsylvania. Do you see those as becoming a close race? It hasn't been all that close in Pennsylvania up to now.
Well, these races are going to tighten up. Even if you have a terrible candidate who's gotten hammered with a lot of money that the Democrats have been putting in early to define their opponents, it's going to tighten up because people come home to their party affiliation. And especially these days, in such a polarized country, you know, people pretty much stick with their party. Even so-called independents are pretty much aligned with a particular party. I think the bigger question is whether the Democratic attempts to define Oz and Mastriano as too extreme in Mastriano's case, and Oz is basically a carpetbagger, a New Jerseyan who, you know, decided he just wanted to, you know, have a new toy in the Senate and run in Pennsylvania. I think, you know, the question is how much did that Democratic defining of these candidates work? I think it's had a big impact, but of course, you know, Oz can sort of erase the fact that he has, what, 10 homes, that he's lived in New Jersey, and that's going to be sort of a weight that's going to be on his shoulders, and he hasn't yet effectively sort of counteracted that and done a good job defining Fetterman. And I think in Mastriano's case, the more he's aligned with extremist groups. What is, did I just read that some of his security detail is filled with some very, very radical extremist people? The more that stuff comes out, the more you're going to push a lot of those voters who might be open to a Republican message back into the Democratic Party. So I think it's going to tighten up because people do come home, but these two candidates have, you know, some big hills to climb over to be able to make it much more competitive.
Well, Fetterman's certainly a non-traditional candidate. He describes himself as such on his TV ads. You know, here's a guy who wears shorts and pullovers and tank tops and has tattoos all over the place. You know, how come he's being taken so seriously? In the past, a candidate like that would have been laughed off.
Well, look, he was a mayor. He was lieutenant governor. And I think people like unorthodox candidates. I mean, go dial back 20-plus years to Minnesota. And you remember who became governor, don't you? Jesse Ventura.
Oh, yeah, right.
All right. So talk about unorthodox candidates. I mean, if you want to, like, sort of put John Fetterman right in the template of Jesse Ventura, there you go. You have it. And so I think what people are looking for is authenticity. And if I were the Dr. Oz campaign, I would be trying to attack the authenticity of John Fetterman, because I think that's really what the Fetterman brand is a degree of authenticity. And you're beginning to see some of that with certain questions. Hey, this guy isn't like that sort of authentic, you know, sort of working class guy. He came from a middle class family. His family did pretty well. You know, what is he doing? He's posing as something that he really isn't. You're seeing some of that coming from the Oz campaign. You know, then you've got Fetterman with his health condition, and I think that could hurt him, but it could also help him, because Americans like a story of overcoming adversity. And insofar as he talks about how close he came to death, that sort of humanizes him in a way that could potentially neutralize some of the attacks that Oz may go against him with. So, you know, I think, yeah, he's really unorthodox. He's very different. But he was lieutenant governor. And it's not that Americans will, you know, sort of look the other way when somebody like this comes before them, because they like that degree of authenticity.
But that was like self-imposed, a sad story on Fetterman's part. He knew what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to take a drug that would have kept him from having a stroke. I know, because I have that same condition and I take the drug. You know, so isn't his own culpability here an issue that's likely to come up?
It could, you know, but who likes to pounce on somebody who had such a serious health condition who's, you know, recovering from that?
Even,
you know,
if they ignore a doctor's advice.
Yeah, I think it makes you seem sort of callous if you're going to say that. Hey, you should have taken that drug and you wouldn't have gotten the stroke. Well, you know, imagine somebody saying that, or imagine Dr. Oz saying that, and Fetterman looking at him in the eye and saying, you know, pushing back and saying, who are you, Mr. Perfect? You know, we all have, you know, issues in life. I never thought this would happen to me. It did happen to me, and I've recovered from one of the worst possible things I can ever face. And then, you know, Dr. Oz goes and crawls in the corner for seeming to come off as pretty cold and unsympathetic to somebody's health situation, because, you know, the voters will look at themselves and say, hey, I could have this happen to me too.
Well, I think ignoring doctors' advice is a national pastime in the U.S., so I don't think anybody's going to fault him for that. All right, so we got the November election coming up. Abortion or inflation? Which is going to steal the show?
Well, I think there's going to be sort of one of those indicator elections today in New York. We have seen the abortion issue really become center stage. Just look at what happened in conservative Kansas, where the pro-choice side won in a landslide. So today in the 19th Congressional District in New York, the sitting member of Congress, Anthony Delgado, took on the position of lieutenant governor. So this is a swing district. This is a district that's been represented by Republicans in the past. Now, Delgado, a Democrat, was their sitting member of Congress. And Pat Ryan, the Democratic candidate, is making abortion the issue. And his opponent, Mark Molinaro, is trying to avoid talking about abortion at every opportunity. You have to imagine, given the inflation and the concerns about that, even though, you know, it seems not to be as severe, or there may be some light at the end of the tunnel, or gas prices are down, so it may be less of a compelling issue to people than it was maybe a month or so ago. Here you have, will Molinaro's focus on the economy prevail, or Ryan's focus on abortion prevail? And I think everyone's going to be looking at that as to whether abortion becomes the prevailing issue, and perhaps even more importantly than the prevailing issue, does it motivate Democrats to go out and vote in an election where they otherwise might not have been motivated to do so, when their party was pretty demoralized for a long time based on inflation and Joe Biden's low but now recovering favorability numbers. So I think we're all going to be keeping our eyes on that one, because this is as swinging a district as you get, even though it's in New York State. So keep an eye on that one, and we'll see how much the Democrats turn out, how much independents, and especially independent women, say, hey, you know, this is the prevailing image for me. I've got to be able to vote on abortion because this is an existential threat to me, my family, my daughters, my friends. We'll see how that plays out. But I do think right now, with gas prices going down, and with Joe Biden's popularity going up a little bit, given his victories in Washington, you're still going to see high motivation among Republicans voting in November. But what was the motivation gap between Republicans and Democrats, which is pretty big just 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, has pretty much now evened out. And I think part of the reason for that is the demise of Roe v. Wade and the Supreme Court's Dobbs decision. So, again, keep an eye on this congressional district tonight, and that may tell us a lot.
I know we've got to let you go, but one quick question. NBC poll yesterday, the top thing Americans were, they found, were interested in was threats to our democracy, as opposed to, let's say, the number two, which was pretty far back, the economy. Do you buy it?
You know, I think I buy it in part, especially now that every time you drive past the corner gas station, the price has gone down significantly. And so it's not as compelling an issue visually, even though people feel it in high prices of food, high prices of housing, they're cutting back. But also people tend to adjust a little bit, and certain things become less top of mind. But I do think that, you know, what Liz Cheney has been doing, and the January 6th committee, and the possibility that Donald Trump withheld hundreds of top secret documents, the same accusation that arguably hurt Hillary Clinton's campaign in 2016, and, you know, former President Trump's ongoing talk about the 2020 election and elections being stolen, and people talking about election workers quitting in certain states because they can't take the harassment and the accusations and the death threats. I think that stuff does seep through, and insofar as probably the greatest birthright we have in America is our democracy and our democratic institutions, it may have taken a while for this issue to sort of bubble up, but I do think it's an issue that people think about and talk about, and they don't want to lose something that's so important to us, which are our democratic institutions. So, again, you know, you bundle that with a whole bunch of other issues that people are feeling, and, you know, it's unclear whether Republicans are saying that on behalf of Donald Trump, saying that our democracy is in peril, or Democrats are saying that because of January 6th and because of Donald Trump. But insofar as people feel a threat to our democracy, I actually think that's healthy, because there's nothing greater in our society than the preservation of our democracy. And before we became a wealthy nation, it was our democracy that became a beacon throughout the world that other people wanted to emulate. And I don't think we want to lose that at all. So we've got to do some reckoning as a nation. And if people are thinking about it, and it's good, because therefore we have to talk about it, debate it, preserve it, and protect it, as an oath of office says. And my guess is it's not maybe top of mind for all Americans, but it's become more back of mind for a lot of Americans. And I don't see a problem with that. I think that's good. We have to talk about it.
Well, we'll invite you to participate in that conversation in the future with us. Thank you so much, Professor Steinhorn. Very much appreciated.
Always a pleasure, sir.
Yeah, same here. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Take care.
Leonard Steinhorn, right. American University Professor of History and Communications and CBS News political analyst, made available to us from time to time, so we appreciate that. All right, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll host Open Phones. This show is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. It's a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. They invite you to do what I've done. Ask them to test drive a Bronco, an Edge, an Escape, an Expedition, a Taurus, an F-150, F-250, and the F-750 dump truck that's down there for one of the local townships, and then make your decision on which you wish to drive at the Sunbury Motor Company, sunburymotors.com. Call us now if you'd like to comment on some of Professor Steinhorn's remarks, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wdkok.com and text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
One of our good listeners says Leonard Steinhorn leans left or is way left, but we'll read that in a moment. But I thought Leonard Steinhorn was pretty close to the middle today.
He has a slightly left viewpoint, but there's nothing wrong with that. It's not illegitimate.
No, and if you were listening carefully, he laid out three roads to Republican victories
yeah.
in the fall. So fall plus 2024.
And I thought he was very, he's had some positive things to say about the Republican candidates and what is likely to happen. So,
Mike, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about your commentator you just had on there. I came in the middle of it, or maybe even towards the end. But from what I heard him say, I heard him use some adjectives for Republican candidates: radical, extreme, and far left. And I would like to ask him, does he ever describe any Democrats that when he's commentating as far right?
What Republican did he describe?
Or radical?
What Republican did he describe as far left?
Well, I don't know, but I wrote the names down. I wrote the words down as he used them. And I know he was talking about a Republican. You're putting me on the spot.
Maybe
here.
Mastriano.
I think it was Mastriano.
He was talking about the perception. We asked him a question specifically. I mean, whether you like it or not, Mastriano is considered outside the mainstream, if you will, in some of his views. Don't you think?
Right. Oh, absolutely. But I mean, if you look at Fetterman, some of the behaviors and things that he is backing. He's out there too, but he talked about Fetterman, and well, he came clean on his refusal to take the medicine, and voters like that. It's a human; they make a connection.
Right.
You know, he was. You know, I'm just talking about the way people are manipulated. Okay, and I think most people see through this, but there's a certain percentage of the voters that they only hear what they hear, and they don't think about it too hard, and they act on that. And I just think that I don't know whether he, carries himself as a nonpartisan, or when he does his commentary that he tries to be fair or not. But I just don't think he was fair in his thing. Now, was he correct in saying that, you know, some people view Mastriano as, you know, far right, extremists and things like that? Yes. But listen, there's a lot of people that have valid concerns about Fetterman and other Democrat candidates, including Shapiro. And I just wanted to bring that up and say how I feel and what I think about people like that.
Well, did you hear him say, and we're talking about Fetterman, I thought he was very balanced because he talked about Fetterman perhaps portraying himself as something he isn't. You know, that he isn't really this man of the people that he proposes to be. He was born in a very well-to-do family. You know, he had a lot of advantages.
Oh, exactly. He did say that, but he didn't. He was, you know, talking about it in a somewhat of a compassionate way. He didn't say, you know, he's running as a fake or coming off as, you know, a fraud or anything like that. And when he was talking about what's his name, Oz, you know, to me, if you, it just felt that he was not giving him a fair shake as he was giving Fetterman. That's all. That's all I wanted to say. And well, I don't think I'm wrong. I mean, you know, we can nitpick on, you know, different things that this fella said, but overall, I feel that he, you know, came across as a nonpartisan when he was talking about the candidates.
Well, I mean, I thought we ask him, he's an analyst. For example, if we get a CBS correspondent on in the morning, we're not allowed to ask their opinion about something because they're news people. But Leonard is a commentator, and so we're allowed to ask for his opinions or his analysis of what he sees. Mm-hmm. And I think he's always been outstanding in giving us an analysis, maybe sometimes slightly to the left. But I can't, you know, it's hard to pick apart what he says because he's actually expressing the two schools of thought, the school of thought on the right and the school of thought on the left.
To be continued. Mike, thank you so much for checking in.
You're
call
back.
Back
if you need more time.
He's got to have more time. We need to talk more about this.
All right.
But to be continued during the 9 a.m. hour, we'll have news headlines. Mark Lawrence here. Mr. Joe McGranahan's directly across from me. Rob Center produced yesterday. Today it's Lynn Hall. And so we always appreciate that. You are listening to News Radio 1070 WDK OK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome aboard WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe is directly across from me. We had Leonard Steinhorn on the line with his political analysis about the primaries around the U.S. Inflation or abortion? What will be the biggest factor this fall? We answered that question. Or you heard his answer to that question. And, of course, talking about Dr. Oz and Doug Mastriano, and they are a little bit closer in the latest polls, so good news for them as they get closer to the November election. You're listening to On the Mark. It's the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. We got two fabulous emails to read very shortly. No texts yet. You can send a text to us at 70236. First, put the keyword in OTM in your text, and then you got 150 characters which basically describes our audience also. But anyway, you can send us a text.
Yeah, boy, you're being nasty to the people who are kind enough every day to listen to us.
They're wonderful characters. They're great people. They're Shakespearean characters.
Okay.
On the Mark at WKOK.com.
Macbeth or King Lear?
Juliet. Okay. On the Mark at WKOK.com is our email. You can call us 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. And our show is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. SunburyMotors.com. We do have lots of news headlines today. A cooperative effort of the Union County Industrial Railroad and PennDOT will result in a new long-lasting rail repair coming soon to Winfield. The crossing, which has been deemed dangerous by many individuals, will start work on September 8th and should be done by the 19th. We'll do it in half widths with the northbound first, then the southbound, and they'll hope to have that repaired soon. So the Winfield track's going to be repaired very soon. About 2.5 weeks, they'll start that work. Reagan Street in Sunbury will soon be reopened to traffic after being closed since last summer. Sunbury officials announced Monday it's estimated the road will be officially reopen tomorrow. A couple of concerns being addressed, not the least of which is the regular flooding of the Reagan Street underpass. That should be resolved. That little leaguer that received a concussion in a fall from a bunk bed today, doing a little bit better. Matt Catrillo tells us that a team of doctors has determined that Easton has improved to the point that he can have the procedure to replace the skull flap later this week in the hopes of a potential discharge to take place early next week. Here's an update that Matt gave us earlier.
Geisinger says he can be transferred home in the next 24 to 48 hours. He's now said to be in fair condition. Frank Maffey is the chairman of pediatrics at Janet Wise Children's Hospital and the pediatric critical care physician who was on call the day Oliverson was rushed to the hospital.
We want to ensure that he is able to tolerate oral intake, that he continues to progress in his physical and occupational therapy, and that he has the appropriate transport mechanisms in place, which we're working on as we speak.
All right, you can see Matt's full update at WKOK.com. In York County, what they're calling a mass casualty stabbing incident happened yesterday. It happened in rural York County. A 34-year-old woman and a 5-year-old child were killed. A number of individuals taken to hospitals. The exact number not known. Authorities say they're not releasing the nature of the stabbing yet. No arrests have been made, according to state police at the York Barracks. So stay tuned for details on that tragic incident. Democrats still hold leads, but just slight leads now in the two high-profile races in Pennsylvania, according to the latest polling data.
A Trafalgar Group poll shows Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman has a 5-point lead over Republican celebrity Dr. Mehmet Oz in the race to replace retiring Senator Pat Toomey in the U.S. Senate. The same poll shows Attorney General Josh Shapiro has about a 4-point lead over former Army Colonel and State Senator Doug Mastriano in the race for the governor's office. The midterm election is set for Tuesday, November 8th.
Mark Sims, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Center Square is reporting alcohol-related crashes in Pennsylvania hit a 5-year low in 2020. While motor vehicle-related injuries have also fallen, the death toll has been relatively flat. Alcohol-related fatalities are trending downward, according to the Pennsylvania DUI Association. The state saw 7,700 alcohol-related crashes in 2020 compared to 9,300 in 2019. In 2016, 10,000 crashes were noted. We have more about this posted at WKOK.com. You'll get a new custom-made COVID booster this fall. CBS's Matt Piper has the latest on that.
Pfizer has submitted an updated COVID-19 vaccine for regulatory approval. The company says the shots have been revised to specifically target new strains of the Omicron variant. The FDA hopes to approve the new vaccine before winter in time for a booster dose campaign.
And not to be undone, Moderna says they'll have a new specialized fall booster available shortly as well. And if you ever misplaced your keys, you can do what a guy in Detroit just did and surgically implant them into your hand. He had the chip from his key fob placed under the skin of the back of his hand, so he now has to never remember to bring his keys. The chip is about the size of a grain of rice, and he's part of a trial group that's testing them out. You don't even need a surgeon to do it. You can get it done at any place that does piercings.
About the battery? Those batteries go out from time to time.
Well, these chips last a long time. They don't transmit all the time. They're activated by the radio waves from your car, and then they transmit, and then you get them.
So every time he sneezes, his garage door goes up.
What? I don't think so.
Possible.
Hey, Bob, your car's running out there. Did you cough again? All right, so there you have it. Yeah, that's the mark of the devil right there, getting your key fob chip implanted under your skin.
Well, we all know those chips are being implanted. They're waiting to get us.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. You can email us at onthemarket@kok.com and text us at 70236. One of our good listeners did not.
Wasn't too big of a fan of Leonard Steinhorn.
Like Leonard Steinhorn.
Doug says, to your so-called political expert guest, we get it. Just like the rest of the lefty political hacks, you hate Trump. He basically said if you vote for Trump, back candidates, you are a low-information voter. What an arrogant, indoctrinated liberal he is.
Wait, he didn't say just Trump voters. I think he was saying everybody.
He was talking about everybody.
Everybody.
He said, and he wasn't saying everybody was a low-information voter. He said there are some low-information voters.
See, this is what we talked about before. If you are ultra-conservative or ultra-liberal,
you hear horrible stuff.
It affects what you hear.
Right. Anyway, if I know a candidate who questions the 2020 election, who questioned the response to COVID and the mandates for the jab, and one who says there are only two genders, they will absolutely get my vote. Not because I'm low informed, but because I don't buy into the left-wing propaganda shoved down our throats by the media and our government.
Well, Doug, you are not a typical voter, so you don't fit into that low
information
category.
Well, he's certainly not low information. No, he has definite information that he likes. And then to balance it, our friend E.B., who never lets an opportunity go by to cram something down the throats of the Republicans.
This is the other side of the perspective.
Yeah. He says, for years, I listened to conservatives scream that Hillary Clinton should be locked up because of her emails. Now we learn that Trump held on to more than 300 highly classified documents after leaving the White House. In other words, what he did was far worse than what Hillary did. So that means he should be locked up, right?
Of course
he should. And yet, oddly, those same conservatives seem to think that what he did was justified or not a big deal. It's just further evidence that Trumpism is a cult and conservatives are the most hypocritical people on the planet. National security doesn't matter. Only protecting dear leader matters. The fact is, Trump deserves to spend the rest of his life in jail, and after he dies, they should keep his corpse in jail for all of eternity. Lock him up.
Are you? You were looking for an extreme Democrat yesterday.
There we found one.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. But he wants Trump locked up, but he doesn't think that what Hillary did deserves to have any kind of consequences.
Well, you know, and I think Hillary broke the law, right? I mean, that's you're not.
They
allowed
called
to use
her handling of it careless.
Okay.
They could have called it criminal.
Well. Who allowed that? I know that she used that while she was Secretary of State.
She did it on her own hubris.
Right, but
just as Trump did it with his own hubris.
We have no watchdogs anywhere monitoring this and say,
well,
hey, by the way.
Hillary was told that she had a...
She was warned.
She was told.
Early on, okay.
But she didn't... Her arrogance didn't permit her to accept that criticism and correct it.
Or fix it, okay. Well, then...
Just as Donald Trump's arrogance led him to take...
Then shame on us for letting her do it. It's bad that she did it and, you know, criminal or... just foolish. We'll let the judge decide.
Well, no judge is going to decide. They let it go.
Yeah, shame on us for not prosecuting.
I'll go back to what I said yesterday. If Donald Trump did something wrong, he should be prosecuted. You know, and should the investigation, I think it said... That same poll we talked about yesterday, the NBC poll, I think said something like 58% of the American public says that the investigations into President Trump should be continued.
Okay.
And so, and as our friend Steve pointed out yesterday, smoke versus fire. If there's plenty of smoke somewhere, there's probably a little fire hanging around somewhere.
Well, and I think people who head to the polls that sort of vote on the important things that I'm not going to say cursory issues have a lot to decide. You know, do you think that abortion is the issue? I know one of the sound bites from the weekend shows over the weekend was even though I am pro-life, I don't think I should impose my will on other people. Other people should have the right to choose abortion if they so choose. So I think that will be on the minds of some folks. But we also heard from people who say, oh my gosh, inflation and rents are terrible. Yeah. You know, you're not getting by. And you know, we keep hearing about wage increases, but they certainly have not increased the wages
of everybody.
Well, they're
not keeping pace with inflation, that's for sure.
Well, that's true. That was then. But, you know, you still have, you know, you hear about jobs that cost $30 an hour, but then you hear of a nursing-oriented job that's just a... $15 an hour. So, you know, they're not all the way, you know, they certainly haven't caught up across the board with some of that. So, yeah, there's a lot to think about. Do you like President Trump or not? I mean, that'll be on the minds of folks. Do you want, as David Rowe talked about, do you want abortion without any exceptions at all whatsoever? Or do you think, sort of like we have in Pennsylvania now, 24 weeks with exceptions for rape or incest or life of the mother, things like that. So, yeah, I think there's a lot. And I don't know if you can say one is key. I think if you are living paycheck to paycheck. I think probably all the Republican candidates look like the best people ever. Ron DeSantis is going to come out of this looking good because Florida's a thriving state. So.
Well, and I think it was also that 58% of the people in this NBC poll said America's headed in the wrong direction. The country's headed in the wrong direction.
Yeah, that's a fascinating finding. A bipartisan concern for the nation is relatively rare.
And, of course,
like that.
Our friend Steve and other liberals think Biden had nothing to do with that. It's just malcontent on the part of the American public, I guess.
Well, I don't think President Biden is a threat to democracy, but I certainly do think
I think he could easily be.
But here's what I wanted to, the second half of that sentence is the idea that if you're participating and fomenting and ginning up, do you like that?
Ginning up the
division in the U.S., the political division, which certainly President Trump and Pete Buttigieg has been a big part of that. I'm sure he doesn't fly private or flies privately, but he was talking about how the airlines are really suffering. So anyway, I think that, you think of the Democrats as being part of that problem. You know, they are exacerbating this issue. You know, if you think that they are anti-drilling or anti-petroleum, then they're part of the problem. If you think they're, what did Doug say, they're shoving the Green New Deal or something else down our throats or, transgender issues or whatever it was. If you think the Democrats are shoving something down your throat, well, then they are fomenting division in the U.S. The Democrats are. All right. 1-800-795-9565. Got more emails rolling in. Mike's back for his 1 minute of fame and glory. Go ahead, sir. You're on the mark.
Yeah, I'm just listening to your news, and I'm trying to justify my position as to why I think like I do. For instance, number one, the FBI agents falsified a FISA warrant. Okay, we know that. That's a fact. Number two, they found no collusion between Trump and Russia, yet people today still believe that he was a pawn of Russia, and that's why he was impeached. So, so there you go on that. Now, as far as COVID comes from, okay, now, it's a scientific improbability that zoonotic transfer caused that virus. I mean, the studies that are out right now that you never see on the mainstream media, and anybody that's in academia won't even discuss them, otherwise they're going to, look really bad to the left and to the government funding. So there's two things right there off the top of my head that says, hey, do I trust the news? And that goes right to the fact, do I trust right now, and does anybody that thinks like me trust that Trump had 300 classified documents without justification on his part? I mean, right now, and then nuclear secrets. They threw out nuclear secrets. That he had nuclear secrets, when it didn't seem to be going their way in the beginning, because nothing gets people upset more than a nuclear bomb going off over their head. So I just want to say I don't really trust the mainstream media that much, and I don't trust the talking heads.
Well, he's not Dr. Steinhorn, I'm sorry.
Right.
Professor Steinhorn is, somebody who's given a lot of thought to this. I mean, CBS has determined that he is somebody whose opinions are worthy of hearing, and I can't disagree with that. I think as far as people go on the left, and I think he's slightly left, he certainly seems balanced to me. In other words, he's more than willing to talk about the Republican strengths as well as the weaknesses, and the Democratic weaknesses as well as their strengths. And I think that makes him a very valuable asset to CBS, because frankly, some of their other people are pretty far left.
Well, and what you and I said off mic is that there really isn't any right-leaning political analyst to balance that's available on this on the CBS schedule. We have to find those individuals ourselves, and of course we've had many, many conservatives on this show, and that's we'll continue to do so, but they're not on the CBS list, so basically we have Leonard Steinhorn plus everybody else that we have on the show.
Well, and Jeff McCausland comes across as pretty conservative, but he's only on military
or
affairs.
Hawkish, yes.
Right,
sorry,
on military affairs. And who else have we had on? We've had on...
Oh, Alf Sievers has been here, not recently.
No, I'm talking about the CBS people.
Oh, CBS. Well,
McFarland. McFarland.
All of them, the whole crew.
Yeah, we've had most of them on. I mean, they offer us somebody every
Jim
morning.
Crisula.
And we're always glad to have them because they do offer a different perspective from the ones we get on a day-to-day basis around here.
And they're smarter than Joe.
Well, some
of them
are.
And I'm not saying don't have them. I'm just saying what I'm hearing from that fella is he is to the left, just like you said, and he tries to hide it, possibly, because he's well-spoken, and he does come across as balanced, but the words that he uses identifies what he is, and it affects voters, you know, just, you know, what he has to say. For instance, I'm watching Bloomberg News right now to see where the market's going to go today, and one of the things that's scrolling down is the South is turning out to be an abortion desert. Okay? Now, they use the term desert, which means, hey, there's nothing there. But I mean, if you're familiar with the desert, it's teeming with life.
There's a lot.
It's not life that, you know, that we look at, you know, on a daily basis. So the fact is, the states in the South
are
voting just like the the law that came out from the Supreme Court said, hey, it's up to each state to decide what they want to do on abortion.
Right. All right, we got to hit the road. Thank you so much, Mike.
Yeah, Mike, I'm sorry. We have to keep moving. We actually wound up giving you a little bit more than your minute.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate
that's
it.
Right. Hey, that's all right. That's all right. We were Thank listening you. To what you had to say.
All right, we'll stop asking people questions who we want to get off the line. How about that? How about if we run the show the right way? All right, 1-800-795-9565. Hold on, callers and emailers and texters. We will be right back.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
All right, welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Joe, you have an opportunity to read one of the panels in front of you, and then we'll take the call.
Okay. One of our emailers says, thank you for having Professor Steinhorn on the show this morning. It was refreshing to hear a new voice provide thoughtful insight on the state of our politics. Says, I'm sure you realize that you have many same callers day after day, so having a guest such as Professor Steinhorn is certainly a welcome change.
All right. Yeah, he did a super job today. Very interesting. And gave us more time than we were allotted.
Yes, he did. We're probably going to get in trouble for that.
We do get in trouble sometimes. Dan, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, I agree with Mike's assessment of Professor Steinhorn. He's a lefty, and he tries to come across with beautiful words, but I don't think, I can't believe any of you people would be fooled by his word salad. He's great with, you know, words and things like that to convince you he's not biased, but he's definitely a lefty. I wouldn't say
really?
He comes across as a far left, but he's off the center, that's for sure. But what he indicates, and is I might have took it, you said we took it wrong, but I think we took it right. He calls people like me, people that voted for Trump, and you know, that we follow him regardless of whatever, as low information.
No, that's not true.
That's not what he said at all, Dan.
Yeah, well, okay, you can say that.
Well, you can.
All right, you have your interpretation.
Doesn't have to be true.
I have mine, and most people don't get. Trump follows us. I've said that over and over. Trump follows us. Now, he kind of got to that yesterday, Joe, but I got cut off there. Very rude of you. But he, COVID-19, you say, well, Trump was right, except he recommended the vaccines, and which aren't vaccines. But the truth is, when he brought it up, we, the people at the rally, booed Trump. He learned to shut his mouth and follow the people. And that's the key to Trump's success. He knows us, you know. and he makes a mistake, he finds out. And just for example, here in Pennsylvania, I didn't follow Trump. I didn't vote for either candidate that he recommended. So I don't see how people like Steinhorn and others say that we followed Trump.
That's some people
not
do.
True.
Some people do.
And I don't follow Trump. I follow what's right, whether Trump endorses it or not. And I believe Trump got it wrong here in Pennsylvania. And I hope we don't pay the price by having two candidates, which may not win, you know, for the Republican Party.
You mean in if President Trump runs again for president?
No, he's talking about the fall election.
This fall.
The people in Pennsylvania, yeah, that he chose, they wouldn't have been my choices. I don't have a problem with Mastriano, but the other one I have a big problem with. But I have to vote for him because I can't vote for Uncle Fester, that's for sure.
Uncle Fester.
I certainly can't vote
Fetterman.
For Shapiro. Oh. He'll be one step worse than Wolf. So I think Trump blew it there. And I wish Trump wouldn't get so involved in our local politics when he don't understand what we want. So we don't follow Trump. Always remember.
Well, you know, if you don't follow Trump, how is it that his endorsed candidates won in Pennsylvania? Just out of curiosity.
You know, it's sad. That's not me.
Well,
that's
it's
the
somebody.
Establishment party.
I don't think the establishment voted for Mastriano. They were trying very hard to get someone else in there, particularly Lou Barletta, right before the election.
That's it's rank and file people who voted for him.
That's who I thought was the right candidate that could win. And he was a Trumper. He was one of the first people out for Trump running for president, too. And so...
Right.
I think they made a bad mistake, but we'll shall see.
It'll cost, yeah.
We shall see later after the election. But they always want to call us, you know, a Trump call. A Trump call, which is very religious in its connotation, which we're not a call. We're
all
just
right.
People that were left.
All right,
over
we got you, Dan. We got to get the next caller going.
You're
going to
be called rude.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Guys, have a good week.
Hey, you too,
yeah.
Buddy. Thank you so much for calling in. All right, that puts Chris on the radio. Go ahead, sir. You're going to be the last caller before
I agree with Dan.
What?
He's further out than Trump.
Okay. That's funny. What else?
Just what the last two callers have been talking about. Mike, was it Mike that was before Dan?
Yep,
yes.
Bloomsburg.
Yes. He was, I should take his word for what the science is instead of Science Magazine, who did the most extensive study on the spread of the virus and how it came to be. And they say it did not come from the lab. And I should take his word for some doctors, some report he read online over the scientific establishment.
Well, and
that's
I think
he's telling me.
If you followed this,
he knows enough about it.
And I think if you follow this, you see there have been remarks from the scientific community on both sides say, well, you know, the release idea is feasible, but also there's plenty of evidence.
The most recent extensive study in Science Magazine came to the opposite conclusion that whoever Mike is reading did.
Gotcha.
And has that been in it? He says the mainstream media all censors it all and all the scientists are afraid. But, that's nice because then you can, anything you don't like, you can just throw out. That's the way they operate. The other thing he said was, he's sure Trump has some justification for having all those top secret documents. Of course, there is no justification, whether they're top secret or not. They're government record documents that belong with the government. They do not belong to Trump.
Well, in fairness, they described them as classified
documents. What is possible justification?
Chris, in fairness, they described them as classified documents. They didn't say they were all top secret.
Yeah, well, whether they're even non-secret at all, they don't belong with Trump there. They're part of the government records that belong with the people who keep government records in the government. He doesn't have the right to take them away.
But he has a right to his own personal papers, does he not?
Depends what you could, how you
and
define
do you think,
personal.
And do you think Donald Trump personally packed those boxes that he sat there deciding this goes in, this goes out? I don't think so.
I think he said take those boxes over there.
Yeah, but who decided what was in those boxes? If it was Donald Trump, I don't think it was Donald Trump. I think he had staff.
Well, we know that he went through them now, at least according to the Times report, he went through them personally before the first turnover of them.
Okay, but that doesn't mean he knew what was in them when they were packed.
Well, he knows what he means. He knows what was in them before he turned them over, and he told some of them to stay there, and some of them to stay there were marked top secret. But he didn't have right to any of them. They shouldn't have been taken out of the White House at all.
So what if that? What about his personal papers that are included
what
in there?
What do you call a personal paper? His letter to the Korean North Korean leader and the letter he sent to President Trump?
His
no,
love
I would say a memo to his to the State Department, to the Secretary of State, asking him to look at something or do something. Those would be his personal papers.
Why would he take that?
Well, why wouldn't he? If he had, you know,
because it's an official government record.
Okay,
that's not him. That's him doing something in his line
Chris,
of duty.
Chris, whose papers are in the?
If he's saying, hey,
I know you don't want
to
hear this, Chris, but whose papers?
We'll say that's personal.
Chris, whose papers
right.
are in the? Whose papers are in the Obama library? Whose papers are in the Clinton library?
And who's in charge of the papers at the library?
The librarian.
No.
Well, that's going to come as a shock to the librarian.
In charge of government and presidential papers are the ones who make the decision where it goes to the library and what can be seen by the library and what is kept in secret in the library. That's a government agency whose job is to do such things.
20 more seconds.
Obama's job to grab whatever he wants, and he didn't do it.
All right. Anything
lies to the contrary.
Anything else, Chris? You got about 10 seconds left.
I got 10, 9, 8.
And you wasted it counting.
7654321 0.
Thank you so much, sir. Thanks for calling in. Always, always.
They're just crazy. They make up what they want to believe.
Yes, it's a national
That's
dilemma.
Definition of crazy.
Liberals sane, conservatives crazy. We got you.
All right. To be continued. All right, we're taking a quickie break. The lines are lit up. Read one panel before we move on.
Doug says, to clarify, your guest said some voters are uninformed, then proceeded to say that if Trump backs a candidate, then that uninformed voter will vote for the candidate simply because Trump said to. I don't have a problem with having a left-leaning guest on, But don't try them to say he was down on the middle.
Don't try to say he was down on the middle
in his views. Okay.
We're missing a word.
Yeah.
You have to go by intent.
Well, yeah, I read what's in front of me.
Well, and I know what he means.
Okay.
I get it. I get Doug. I know him better than he knows himself.
Now, do you really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure he's going to be surprised to hear that.
He's a good conservative. All right. We'll be right back.
This is Joe Cordell. In other ads, I've talked about...
One of our emailers says, I hate it when people use the phrase shoved down our throats. It is what it is, and no one is shoving anything. People just need to get their heads out of the sand and realize that the world is always evolving. People are so stuck in the past and in their comfort zones, I feel sorry for them.
You can read that lower right-hand corner, too.
All right. Steinhorn is a real piece of work. Gas prices dramatically falling? Really? It's still $1.50 more than when Biden was installed. Okay.
Installed. Yes. He was elected by the
Well, they don't say elected because that would imply that the election wasn't rigged.
Oh, I got you. The bishop. Well, actually, gas prices are below $4 a gallon in Pennsylvania and 93 cents more than a year ago. So that's the latest. Tom, thanks for calling in. Go ahead, sir. You're on the mark.
Yeah, Leonard Steinhorn, as usual, hit it out of the ballpark. I mean, as far as uninformed voters, There were about 74 million of them in the last election.
Okay. In your opinion.
And if you want to hear uninformed voters, tune into this show every day.
Well, I think there's...
You'll hear so much crazy stuff that...
And yet we're glad to have you on, Tom.
Well, I'm not one of the crazy ones.
Well, to somebody on the right, you are.
My God, some of the stuff you hear on here...
Like what?
This Trump is about the biggest crook that this country has ever seen.
Oh, he must have had more criminal
presence. And they elected him president. And they still stick up for him in spite of all the things... In spite of all the things that he's done, they still stick up for him. I mean, I don't know how he gets away with these things.
What's he getting away with?
He paid off a porn star and a Playboy bunny.
Is that bad?
And his lawyer went to jail for it, and he didn't get nothing. Why? How does that work? Why didn't he get a jail sentence, and his lawyer did?
Maybe his lawyer committed a crime.
Yeah, that would be my guess.
Oh, come on. They had him on the telephone. They had recordings of him on the telephone, how they were going to pull this thing off, and Trump was signing the checks to Cohen while he was in the White House. They have the checks. I mean, the guy's as guilty as sin. His lawyer goes to jail and he doesn't.
Of guilty of sin of what? Paying someone not to say something bad about him? That's not a crime.
Well, then why did his lawyer go to jail?
Because his lawyer lied under oath.
And so, well, you can't get Trump to lie under oath because he won't go under oath.
Well, doesn't that make him smart?
But he pleads the fifth.
I mean, it's just like the last time. 440 times he pled the fifth.
Well, he's not the
only
one who pled the fifth.
When he said that Hillary Clinton was a con and a mobster for when she pleaded the fifth.
Hillary pled the fifth. When did Hillary plead the fifth?
Well, whenever I guess she didn't. It was her people that were under her. You know, whatever
that's a protection guaranteed by the United States Constitution. You find a fault with that?
Yeah. I do. If you didn't do anything wrong, you shouldn't be pleading the fifth.
Well,
why are you pleading the fifth if you didn't do anything wrong?
That's not necessarily true. A legal strategy would say, don't give them anything that could be misconstrued or used in another courtroom, because he's got, seven investigations, so you don't want to give any of those investigations something. You may be 100% innocent, but you don't want to give them details about anything, or that you and your lawyers or anything at all whatsoever that you've done.
You watch what happens this next time. This West, what's his name, the lawyer that pled guilty? Weisheimer?
You're talking about the person on the CFO at Trump's organization?
Yeah, what's his name? Weisselberg.
Weisselberg.
Right? He pled guilty. Now, if he's guilty, Donald Trump has to be guilty. I mean, he has to be. The whole family has to be. Do you think he won't get away with it?
He will.
He got to be guilty. Got to be.
Yeah, Weisselberg.
He's the guy that was giving him these things to keep it off the tax records. He knew what was going on. He knew there was two sets of books. So, it's just people, they fall for this guy. This guy is a big crook.
Well,
he's the most crookedest person, and if you're sticking up for him,
Weisselberg really just—you
must be just like him.
He really just pleaded guilty.
No, I don't need these people that come on here. Don't need to give me this. Give me their sermons every day of how religious they are and how good they are, and then they stick up for a guy like Donald Trump.
Well, I can hardly wait to see when the Biden family business turns out to be corrupt. I'm going to really enjoy you calling in and telling us how bad they are.
If they are corrupt, I will come on here and call them corrupt. But right now, I haven't seen any evidence of it.
Nope, we got to go.
This Hunter Biden thing. Hey,
thanks, Tom. I'm sorry, we're out of time for the segment. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, 1-800-795. Oh, no, scratch that. All the lines are busy. All right. Thank you. If you're dialing, you're getting a busy signal, that's why. We got three callers. We'll be right back. Let's expedite here. I want to tell you about the Sunbury Motor Company. That's our sponsor, sunburymotors.com. I've driven the base, the Big Bend, and the Outer Banks Bronco Sports down at the Sunbury Motor Company. Now I have to do the Badlands, and guess what? They got one that's on the way within 2.5 weeks. It'll be here. It's the Bronco that comes with the 30-inch tires already on it and a 6-inch lift and big skid plates across the bottom and that articulating suspension that allows you to wobble it and move it and tells you if you're level or not, although I don't know why you need to know that. But anyway, but it's all part of the off-road package of the Badlands Bronco Sport that's coming. Comes with a big 3-liter engine, so it's going to be able to climb rocks and do all the famous Nevada landmarks that are out there. If you so chose, you could get one with a 2.0-liter EcoBoost motor. Then your mileage on the highway in the Badlands is going to get a little bit closer to 30 miles to the gallon, but the Badlands is not for getting high mileage on the highway. It's for going absolutely positively anywhere. It's considered a recreational vehicle, not just a highway transportation family moving vehicle. It certainly is that, but the Badlands Bronco is on the way at the Sunbury Motor Company. Go down there and see Kyle and Alphonse and the rest of the crew at the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Welcome back to KFK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark, upper right-hand corner.
Real quick, Rob says, in response to Chris, science is never final. I remember the Time magazine article warning us of the coming ice age. Coffee is bad. Coffee is good for you, with many other flips of science based on current data. To say that one study is the final answer to something is absurd.
I think he said it was their opinion, their conclusion, which is an opinion. Al, 2 minutes. Go.
Okay, thanks. Well, I'm calling to see if you would ever consider having a Fox person come on or a Newsmax person come on the way your first guest was today and then go from there.
We're not a Fox News station and we're not a Newsmax station. We are CBS, however, and CBS makes the offer.
You can't invite somebody from Fox?
We have a thousand
conservatives. What would their incentive be?
Besides, we have 1,000 conservatives on the show every day, so it's not like we're lacking a
conservative
viewpoint.
Well, I'm just wondering if they would drop the words like low information voters, carpetbaggers, radical.
Al,
I mean,
do you think every
voter...
Would
they drop their bombs on everybody?
Al, do you think every voter is as informed as you or some less so?
I'm hoping a lot are well-informed.
Do you think all voters are as informed as you or less so?
Because the Democratic Party is the one causing the insurrections going on around here. I mean, they're going against the Constitution all over the place.
Well, let me ask you this, Al.
And it started with the... sanctuary cities.
If someone voted opposite of you, would they inherently be low information because they disagree with you?
No, no. It's the information and what you choose to pick these days. Because you can pick and choose any information you want right now. If you want to be far left, you can pick that information and find it on your news. If you want to listen to conservative radio, you're going to listen to that. I try and mix it up. I switch around during commercials and If I find them interesting, I listen to what CNC or...
Oh, that's almost 2 minutes. Oh, go ahead. Another couple seconds. Go ahead.
Well, I listen to the other side, too.
All
and,
right.
You know, it's where you get your information.
How about it? All right. Thank you so much, sir. Thanks for calling in. Bob, you are on the mark. You get 2 minutes if you need
Good morning. I'd like to make three statements, and then maybe you can answer if you want. I had the occasion to go to Sealands Grove over the weekend. The gas in Schmokin Dam, almost worse, I'm sorry, was 23 cents a gallon higher than here in Northumberland.
What?
Number two statement of the FBI that did the red dossier and all that and came up embarrassed. I understand they took that whole team and sent them down to Mar-a-Lago and sent all the brass along with it. You know, I guess they were kind of ashamed at what they got. And my last statement, I just saw that there's building material around Biden's summer home to build a fence. Now, how hypocritical can this be? You answer.
He doesn't want illegal immigrants to get on the property, I guess.
Well, then don't let them in.
More interesting is the mayor of Washington, D.C. was calling for National Guard help to help with a few immigrants that have taken them up on the bus rides up from Texas. Amazing.
Yeah, yeah, they cry when it's in their pocket, but they don't care what happens to everybody else.
Nope.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. All right, Stan, you're going to be the last caller of the day. Go right ahead.
Tom calls everybody crazy, but I do think he's certifiable. If he wanted to purchase a gun and have it transferred, I probably would turn him down. Anyway.
And mental health concerns. I got you.
You know, Chris calls up and says that, you know, that article says that the COVID didn't originate in a lab, wasn't a lab leak, blah, 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 blah. Really? How much access do you think those writers of that article had to the actual information from the Chi-Coms? Because they're the ones controlling what comes out of China. Nobody else does. So they only allow people to see what they want them to see. So if the Chinese government says, nope, no lab leak, it all came from the wet market there next door, then that's where it came from. Well, you know, the Chi-Coms have been lying to the world for years, and why should we believe them now?
No reason I can think of.
That's exactly right. But Chris does. He believes that article, and the only place that article could get its information would be from the Chi-Coms.
Well, but listen, there's a lot more to it than that. We've heard a lot of scientific information, some of which probably was from, you know, China and, you know, may be tainted with their viewpoints. But a lot of other information is done empirically using genetics of what exists in the world that we know for sure and what exists in these variants that are out there. And there may be a scientific opinion that it came from nature, but it's not a definitive fact that can be decided, and you know, so I think that's your idea that it came from a lab and was released and was part of a conspiracy and so on and so forth, well, or part of weapons.
Wait a minute, Mark.
You can
I
back
never
that
said
up.
It was intentionally released.
Right. Okay. That's fine. No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying you can back that up. There's information that can say that that's a true statement. And what Chris said, there is some information. I'm just saying that nobody can come on this show and say we know the absolute definitive fact. You know, we have a whistleblower or somebody that's come forward and say this. We don't know.
My point exactly. But Chris seems to make it that's fact. That because this article says it didn't happen, it didn't happen. All right? Now, I've seen stuff where the people that have looked at the virus says there's precursors or stuff in the virus that does not come from nature. It had to come from somebody fiddling with the virus. So evidently, the coronavirus is in nature. All right? From my understanding of how this works, there is a coronaviruses in nature that are natural. Now, whether it can jump from human animal to a human automatically is up for debate. But the people that studied the virus have said that there's stuff in that virus that does not occur in nature. That means it was manipulated by humans for whatever purpose. I don't know what the purpose is, and we'll probably never know because this stuff is all under wraps. All right, and that's. You know, that's just the way the world is. We will never be told the truth.
All right, well, you got 3 minutes.
You literally got the last word, Chris.
All right, you got 3 minutes because the previous caller only used one, so.
Have a good one.
Thank you so much, sir. Thanks for calling in. Thank you, Joe. Thanks for catbirding yesterday.
See you tomorrow, man.
Tremendous surprise to everybody involved, not the least of whom. You.
Me, yes.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. Next up, the Dan Patrick Show. This is WKOK Sunbury, 10 o'clock.